I'm just gonna do we want to do the challenge question first, or do we want to get do the gift first?
Do the gift all first.
It's gonna be chocolate buttholes.
There is no chocolate involved. Actually. Oh.
Thank you.
You should open what's in the bag before you open the package.
All right, so just for the...
For the audio.
For the audio, this is a really lovely lighthouse pattern, which is so appropriate for the movie that we're watching today.
Yeah.
On the bag.
Oh, and a lighthouse.
A pomegranate! Two pomegranates! Oh my goodness!
Panda, get down.
You don't want
so appropriate. I love pomegranates.
They'll
Thank
stay
you.
In your fur.
those were purchased days ago, and one of them has gotten a little soft.
It's getting a little mushy. That is, yeah. I love like putting pomegranate. Yes, I love pomegranates. I will probably go home and like eat pomegranates and drink alcohol.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You'll need to record a video like
with
a plastic bag.
I'll wait until. All
right. You'll need to record a video like with a plastic bag where you just let them drop, let them plunge.
Oh, the plunging pomegranates. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Are you excited, Panda?
Very, very excited.
Are you excited?
There's something in there
about the presents. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's a copy of My Dad Wrote a Porno so I can sit and read it.
Yeah. I thumbed through it. It's great. Like
this is
fantastic. It's the book, and they annotate it. Uh-huh. There's even discussion questions after
gorgeous.
Each at the end of each chapter.
This is so...
The tombola.
We're gonna have to read this as a couple.
No, we aren't.
But there's discussion questions after
I don't
each
need,
chapter.
I can't do that alone.
I don't want to discuss them.
You should assign the discussion questions for your class.
No.
Oh, no.
I mean, we are going to be talking about figurative language next week. And here we have vaginal personification. So.
And we have this.
Symbols. No. Thank you.
I mean, it hardly qualifies as porn.
Huh?
It hardly qualifies
as porn. I know. Actually, like, I feel like this could fit into a great abstinence-only curriculum. Like, this would fit right in.
It does make me want to do abstinence-only.
We could probably have that as part of the health program.
Okay. All right. Here's the challenge question for tonight, Tony. Holden, you don't get to play for reasons that will become very obvious in a moment. Can you name any of the advice given in the commencement speech or song, Wear Sunscreen?
Have you heard this song before?
What?
Yeah. Remember?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that song now.
Can you name any of the advice given elsewhere, and obviously other than Wear Sunscreen?
Not off the top of my head, no. Because it's been, because it has been a long...
It's been 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've heard that.
It was 1997.
Okay, it's been 22 years.
Yeah. I want to say that song was on something...
Crocheting.
Yep. It's not crocheting. It's latch hook.
Oh, I used to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was on something that I watched like 6 months ago, but I don't... Like, I didn't... It's like, oh, I remember that song. And immediately just stopped paying attention. Yeah. God damn it. Because now I'm thinking about
it. No, it bothered me once he said that.
I was... Bittersweet Symphony came on the ride over.
Yeah.
And I was like, this song was really iconic of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Like, what else happened in the 90s that was a big thing that I can remember? That thing happened, but I cannot list a single piece of advice given in the entire song. And here we are.
What was your, like, what was the, like, class song for whatever year you graduated?
2001? Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means, and I refuse to respond to it.
Okay.
I don't know what
that means. Like, to the extent, like, what extent was that a thing then?
Class songs?
Yeah.
I graduated in a cathedral.
Yeah, but they weren't played at graduations. I think it was something that, like, Billboard or MTV, usually, like, I think MTV was the one who set, sort of announced, this is the song of the class of 99.
I don't know what that means.
Okay. It was basically a marketing thing that MTV was...
99. I graduated in 2001.
I'm aware, but I graduated in 99, so I was thinking in terms of myself.
That's like a whole millennium before.
I'm aware, yes. No, we've talked about and about my experiences during the Iraq War.
You're reading it now, aren't you, Tony?
Yeah.
You can't not, can you?
I thought it was really vapid advice looking back.
I actually still can't remember any of it, and I was driving when I asked the question, so I haven't looked. You don't have to read it.
No, that's the one I remember now, though. Do one thing every day that scares you.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that I remember from it.
I think that's maybe the only really good. And you're probably not as fat as you think you are, but you might be.
I am exactly as fat as I think I am.
Well, I think he's talking to people who are graduating from high school. That was different when you were graduating from high school.
And when I was graduating from high school, I also firmly believe I had a keen grasp on just how fat I was. And it was not at all.
Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements.
Like, who keeps their old bank statements?
Yeah. I do.
Okay.
Yeah, you're weird.
I mean, digitally now, don't...
Well...
You have access to all of them all the time on demand.
Not in a 1997 way.
Also, throw away your old love letters. It's time to move the fuck on.
You know what I did? It was actually very cathartic.
Burned them.
No. Recycled them. Yeah. Like...
The most apathetic of removals.
Very pointedly recycled them. That it was like, it just felt so good. Like I found this box from the early 90s, like early, or before I met Julie, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And there was some letters in there. And one of them was the letter that my ex sent me when she broke up with me.
Oh, wow.
My ex-fiance, she sent me. From Chicago, she sent me this, like, pages-long letter.
In it, she made a bunch of predictions about the future. And one of them was, I've come back from the future.
Yeah.
Don't have a son. He'll kill you while you sleep one day.
No plans of that are in the works, as of yet.
But,
I mean, how much planning is it going to take?
Yeah, you know, I found it, and I was like, so I've got this, and I'm like, I reread it, and it was just
but I
like,
can't be sneaky.
Oh, this is great. And there are reasons that are really great that I'm not going to record. But then I was like, I just made a point of recycling it, putting it in the recycling. Yeah, and it was just like, that felt really good. Yeah. Just get it out there into the universe. Make something good of it somewhere else.
I bet you got it back as an ad.
Probably.
Bill.
That's probably more accurate.
I didn't ever have any love letters. I've had...
It wasn't... Yeah, and this wasn't a love letter. This was a
kiss-off
letter.
Like a... I haven't had like...
What's the deal with you?
I've had a lot of like long emails from romantic partners, but no like physical letters. I have a few like very elaborate mixtapes. Notes on them, and I've kept, or mixed CDs, and I've kept those, but no letters. Because a lot of times it's like a lot of artwork, so I can't throw them away, I don't feel like, but.
I made a lot of mixtapes.
Yeah.
Like, and these were mixed tapes.
Okay.
I hate everything you're saying.
Well, is it because you've never made me a mixed CD?
Mixed CDs.
I will not do that.
Mixed CDs would have been incredibly expensive at the time that I was doing mixed tapes. Incredibly expensive.
Yeah. In high school, I was the first guy who got Napster. So mixed CDs for me was something I gave out to everyone.
Yeah.
A lot.
So it wasn't special is what you're trying
to say. It wasn't special at all.
The time that I was making mixed CDs would have cost you like between $3,000 and $5,000 for the burner.
Oh, God.
And it was like $100 a disc for the blank media.
And who was using CDs at that point?
Musician. Okay. I mean, we were listening to music on CD,
okay.
But to burn your own CDs was incredibly expensive.
Okay.
So like occasionally you found somebody that got a burner and like had some bootleg music, which was great because you could get decent quality bootleg music. But they were charging like $20 to $50 per disc for it. Just because.
Well, like CDs used to be like eight, like if you got a brand new CD of somebody major at Turtle Music, you would be looking at like $18 or $19.
Yeah.
If it was brand new.
Yep.
Which just now is horrifying that I would have spent, but like for people I cared about, I'd run out.
That's, but how much with inflation, how much would that be spending today? For an album, for a single album of music.
I'd assume like $5-6.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm saying if you spent $18 then, how much would that be spending in today's money?
I feel like I don't understand economics well enough to say, just because I'm thinking about in the 90s, like because our wages haven't gone up that much. The cost of so many other things have gone up, but things specifically like the cost of media has gone down.
Yeah.
So I don't actually even know how to answer that. Like, how would that?
Well, would you be buying the CD though?
Yeah, that's the thing. A, wouldn't I wouldn't be. But even if I were buying the CD, it wouldn't be that much. If I went out and bought a new CD, it would not be like
I don't 18 even,
or 19 bucks.
I don't even know where you would go to go buy a new CD. To go buy a new CD like in a store or something.
You could go to, I mean, there's a music store in the Loop now and you can buy new CDs there.
There's always been a music store in the Loop.
I know. Like, I didn't mean like now. But there's, my point was it's still there. Because I do expect it to close at any moment.
I think everyone's thought that for like 30 years.
Yeah. But
vintage vinyl just won't die.
Yeah. And they just never give up.
Yeah, you can buy new CDs there.
Hmm.
And I bet they're like, in the neighborhood of 15 or 16, the brand new ones.
Hmm. Yeah, but now it's a novelty.
Yeah.
Now it's a gift for a certain aged individual.
Yeah, exactly. Like my mother who asked for some books on CD. She really, yeah.
I don't know how to respond.
If I go to a live show and there's somebody that, like an opening act that doesn't have their music on
whatever
on Google Play, which is what I'm currently using, I'll probably buy their CD from them because you're buying it direct from them and it supports them even more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, the last time I bought a CD was that exact situation.
Yeah.
I was at a live show. It was the opening act. His new album was not available on streaming, so I bought it.
I think the last one I bought was probably from Rasputina. And I really like the cover art. Like, I like the CD art, but yeah.
I don't remember the last CD I bought.
Turn that off.
I only buy my shit digital. And previous to that, I only stole my shit digital.
I only stole a few things digital, but it was like really rare B-sides or like that. Because Tori Amos had this thing where she would cover stuff and like, would on every show on a tour she would cover something different.
Yes.
So it was almost impossible to get a lot of her stuff unless you were just swiping it.
Yeah.
Well, or just swiping it. So I got a lot of covers that she did, but I think that was really most of what I stole when I did that.
How'd you feel about her covers album?
I don't remember her covers
album. It came out a million years ago. It came out like in 2007, maybe?
It was okay. It wasn't as impressive as the cover she did live.
Okay.
That's...
Yeah, I could see. And she's quite a performer.
Yeah,
so,
she is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I really like her music, but...
Yeah, I like her music.
Friesen's greetings.
Friesen's greetings.
That's what I got. All right, Tony, let's kick this shit off.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Holden.
This is Anna.
This is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. So the original Booster Seat Producer is here with us tonight.
Yes, I am.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh!
You were like...
I remember my very first one. It was Astro Boy.
Was that the first one?
Whoa. That's the first one I remember.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Fight.
I also remember I was involved in The Last Airbender when that came out and when we had a video recording. A computer camera up on the door.
The webcam up on the door, yeah.
Yeah, and I shoved my my avatar, Nintendo avatar game card into it, so the people could see.
You were trying to play it on there, and we tried to explain to you that that's not how that worked.
Yeah, I didn't listen.
Good night, kiddo. That's a hell of a shirt, Aaron.
Yeah, she's like her mother. She hurt her knee. Pull the muscle or something. All right.
All right, so next week we'll talk about Bandersnatch.
Yep.
The snatchiest of all banders. Aaron, what are you doing? Okay. All right, Tony, let's kick this shit off. I'm tired. What'd you think? We're talking about Aquaman.
We're talking about Aquaman. This movie was a war between the narrative and cinematography, and everyone lost.
All right.
Everyone lost. But most egregiously, me.
Most importantly.
I felt much the same way until about halfway through the movie. And then I gave up on trying to let it make sense.
There we go.
And just enjoyed it.
There it is.
Because it's just cheesy. It was just a cheesy superhero movie. The biggest problem I had with it was the tone that has been set in the other DC Universe movies was so very different from this one that it was really hard to get into, because I wasn't expecting something to not take itself as seriously as this didn't take itself. But also to have such a beautiful film and have such a meandery story that I literally fell asleep during part of it because nothing was happening. Nothing was advancing the story.
And what part was that again?
I want to pick middle. Apart many things you've said.
Just as they went on there, we need to go find the thing. Oh, but then we need to go do this first, and then we need to go do this before that.
Yeah.
Like, they went on their RPG quest, and it was like,
I want to pick apart many things you've said.
I said a lot of things in my high-level overview. Holden, what did you think of the movie at a high level?
High level?
Yeah.
The opposite of what just happened here.
Yeah, the opposite of what I just did.
I thought it was a fun movie. And the way I watch movies is I'm not used to critiquing them like you are. I just watch it and I have fun, because every single movie I walk into and I turn my brain off so I can make sense of what's happening.
You gotta stop doing this fucking podcast, man. This podcast is gonna ruin you.
It might. Or it might teach me some things. I don't know. But I thought it was a fun movie. It was a very pretty movie. The narrative was weak, and a lot of the things that they were trying to do fell kind of flat. A lot of the side stories and little things they were trying to introduce just sort of felt forced and just not great to me. For example, like Arthur's insecurity, that did not make a whole lot of sense to me, because he mentioned it once when he was at the old king's tomb with the giant creature, and he mentions it there and in the Lasso of Truth scene in Justice League, and that's it. But the rest of the time he's confident and full of bravado, and whether that's an act or anything, that's not really clarified on, and it just didn't seem natural to me.
You've learned your high-level review skills from your dad, which is a disservice.
Yeah.
Anna, what did you think?
Yeah, I'm not going to do a good job. Okay, so my high-level review is that...
Is that Phil? Master Gru?
Yeah.
Hi, Phil.
Good Lord.
Sorry, Phil was in the chat room.
I didn't have a huge... Like, the narrative isn't what I had a huge problem with. I mean, I felt like the narrative was super derivative. And just like whatever, but I had a problem with the characters. Like, I just don't know who these people are. Like, there's nothing that they said or did that made them into like real characters. Yeah,
Mara is an exposition dump,
and she that also is... looks a lot like Ariel.
That is,
I felt like they could have been sued.
Except,
sorry, go on.
Except, I meant to look this up. I believe that Mara predates Ariel. So if anything, wow, I believe.
Did she have that look?
I believe. I know she's got that bright red hair look.
I was wondering about that. Like, I assumed she predated Ariel, and I wondered if she had that look.
I'm pretty sure she predates.
Interesting.
First appearance is Aquaman number 11, September 1963.
Well.
I have so much more to say, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Well. Well, I appreciate someone summarizing. All right. Let's start with the characters. And I use the word loosely. Yeah. I did not like Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I feel like they needed to go one of two directions with it. They needed to do a movie about Aquaman, or they needed to do shirtless Jason Momoa. Like,
and then we should have gotten a little dick, too.
Just a slight amount of dick.
Yeah.
But
like some dick cleavage.
But he never actually has any dialogue. He only does one-liners. Like, if they would have just committed to him saying one-liners with a heavy metal riff in the background, and, like, occasionally he's got these, like, obnoxious sunglasses on, and you're like, why do you have those underwater? But, like, he just doesn't give... Like, and they change? Like, they're different ones in every scene? They needed something.
The problem is he's not Aquaman. Because Aquaman is supposed to be royalty. He's supposed to elevate to the level of royalty. And I don't see the character they presented in this movie ever elevating himself to the level of royalty.
Every time I see Aquaman, like the actual Aquaman, I'm pretty sure that's the gay character in the DCEU.
It's not.
It's not. But... God damn, if they're not trying to make Arthur Curry the gay character in the DC.
The problem in the comic books, they had really good source material they could have mined from. Like, they rebooted the character a couple of years ago, where, like, the first thing you see is him, like, it's very similar to how this one starts. But he's just like, everybody's like, ah, I hear you talk to fish. It's like, yeah, I do a lot more than that. You know, and like, that would have been great. Like, if they would have made that a running joke for the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie, and then just had him go start being a badass, that would have been something.
I wish they would have Neville Longbottomed it.
Ooh.
Show him in the early years, and he's Neville Longbottom in the early movies. Then they're like, oh, we haven't seen this guy at the high school reunion in 20 years. Yeah. And then he rolls in and he's shirtless. And it's like the middle of winter. Like, everyone's wearing formal clothes, and they're like, what the fuck? And he's like, hey, guys.
All right, so I found a cover of the first issue of Aquaman where Mara appears from 1963.
Oh, yeah.
Ever looks like Ariel. Jeez.
Yeah.
So, if anything, I think Ariel cribbed her look from Mara.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. Although Mara doesn't have that purple top.
No, she doesn't.
On
she
the cover, doesn't... and she does in the...
She also doesn't have fish legs.
True.
Yeah, she's got, like, fin feet.
Is that the... I don't know if that's the same or not. I'm going to assume that's not the same.
No.
You know what? Sure. I'm coming full circle. I feel like that is the same now.
Yeah, there was nothing about the Aquaman character that made me feel like he deserved to be king.
Right?
He was actually good. Like, there's some, like, heroes that become kings through their ordeals, mm-hmm. and they become responsible. They become, like, politically savvy. But he had no character change, really. He just kept beating and pounding, and...
He also didn't struggle.
No, he never really struggled.
He got into a fight, and he didn't win the fight.
Yeah.
Is that not struggle?
What I think that fight struggle with Black Manta should have done is teach him, like, for the tone of this movie, what I think that fight should have done is teach him, shit, I'm not invincible.
The problem is there were no stakes for any of the fights that he had. He lost the fight, but he didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
He just lost a fight. Like, he didn't lose Volko. He didn't lose his mom, because his mom was still alive. He didn't lose his dad. He didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
He's a homeless person. It's not like...
But who really cares?
But the thing is, he didn't have anything to lose. There was nothing for him to lose. There was nothing that he could have gained through the course of the story and then lost and realized that he had something that he could have fought for.
Yeah.
Like, there's just nothing there. Like,
that's what they tried to do with his dad. They tried. And then Mara showed up. She's like, nope. Hydrokinesis.
Yeah.
Well, they had to have that fucking scene at the end where she shows up on the dock in the sun, the dawn light.
And that was fine.
Jerked off into the fucking sea.
But there was no... Like, they had multiple opportunities that he could have experienced a loss.
Yeah.
He could have lost Volko.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because we showed him being trained by him as he's growing up. So if through some mistake that he made, Volko was assassinated in front of him. It's like, that's a loss. That I need to step up.
Okay, so in my circumcision of the foreskin of this movie, all of this extra flesh, Volko doesn't make the cut. Volko is gone.
Okay.
All scenes with Volko are gone. All scenes with young Aquaman are completely excised from this movie.
So how would Aquaman know all the stuff he knows?
Just heard it from the fish. Who cares? Okay. But he knew things that Volko hadn't told him. And did you ever question those things?
Like, other than, I didn't feel like he knew anything that Volko hadn't told him, except for maybe some of those stories that his mom told him. But what did he know that Volko didn't tell him?
I can't give you any specifics. Okay. I didn't assume Volko told him everything.
All right.
I assume that he generally knew that other people lived under the sea.
Yeah.
And in his travels under the sea, he had occasionally passed words with people.
Oh, I didn't think he had had those contacts.
I mean, everybody under the sea knew who he was.
Because he was the half-breed bastard of the queen
who
cheated.
Yeah, it wasn't until they got to Atlantis that people knew, but not like outside Atlantis until he had the trident.
But looking at him, they knew who he was. What is Panda getting into over there?
His antler.
Yeah, no, like, pretty immediately they knew exactly who he was. Okay.
I did not get that impression, but I believe you.
And I mean, like, from... So, when they take him, his brother hauls him up there, and he's like, oh, it's you, you're finally here.
Yeah.
But they take him by himself, so, like, no one knows him on site. Because Volko doesn't cop to it.
Yeah. I think that... he would have been the only person to be showing up in that way, like a land person to have a reason. Like, it's almost like they had been waiting for him to show up. So I don't think it's that they knew him and had met him.
Well,
I guess
there was also,
There
was also a little thing I picked up on. The Atlanteans are very white.
Oh, yeah.
Very white.
Yeah.
So that was probably a hint when some, I can't even remember his race now.
Polynesian
guy comes in breathing water. And fighting their guys and sneaking into Atlantis randomly with Mara. So
he didn't sneak in with Mara. He did sneak in with Mara, but when they capture him, they don't know that.
With Mara, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because otherwise they would have captured her and Volko at that point.
But yeah. Yeah. Which, actually, speaking of which, I was kind of excited. I was thought that they were going to do interesting things with Atlantis.
Oh, no.
And that myth and, like, mix it with Polynesian stuff and, like, these like, this deep legacy of seafaring, ancient seafaring. But no.
No, there was none of that.
That was so fucking disappointing. I thought that, like, oh, this could be a fascinating sort of...
Atlantis sank. And then the magic of Atlantis made us breathe underwater. But only some of us... Some of us turned into fish people, and then some of us turned into animals.
Yeah.
Like,
what the fuck was going on?
There's so many missed opportunities with this movie to tie it into the greater DC universe. Like, there's one mention of, oh, that fight with Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
That's it. But they could have had Atlantis having ties to Themyscira, and like, there's
a whole Zeus-Poseidon relationship there, and like, the only time they've ever mentioned Poseidon was the Poseidon steel.
Yeah. there was also this one thing that Jason Momoa like joked in an interview, I thought was actually pretty interesting, that in the scene with a Man of Steel when Superman is saving the oil rig and he falls into the water and he's pretty much unconscious for who knows how long, Arthur found some random dude floating in the middle of the ocean, realized he was still breathing, and brought him to the coast.
They could have tied that in.
Yeah.
I mean, there could have been ways they could have tied their origins together in interesting ways, even if it's just a little thing.
And no fan service. They
wasted enough time.
This movie was long.
Yes!
This was a long-ass movie.
That was unnecessarily long. Oh, yeah.
No crossover fanboy stuff either. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, not even oblique mentions of the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need Wonder Woman rolling in, surfing on her shield or whatever fucking bullshit they would have put in the movie, but...
No, but if they could have had, like, if they're talking to the Atlanteans and it's we're even going to have to deal with the Themyscira issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just mention it.
Anything.
We're going to take on the whole world. Even the Amazonians, because we're going to take on the whole surface world.
Yeah.
Yeah, even the Amazonians, because that could be a rough play for us.
Yeah, because last time that didn't...
Yeah.
That was a rough go last time.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so we all agree that the movie is deeply flawed.
Yes.
And here's why I think that it suffers narrative versus cinematography. So, a couple people sat around and they're like, you know what would be fucking awesome to film? A Colosseum fight.
Yeah.
And then the guy who's writing the story is like, it doesn't make any sense for us to do a Colosseum fight because it accomplishes nothing we're setting out to accomplish in this movie. But you know what would be awesome? If the Colosseum was above a bunch of lava.
Yeah.
Why are we putting lava in the scene now? No. Just stay with me. What do you mean stay with you?
Yeah, the updrafts would have been terrible. Yeah, like, they would have just been scorched. Yeah, everything would have been boiling.
Everything is fucking hot. Why are we doing this?
They evolved to deal with that.
Also,
it's part of Atlantean magic.
You know how you don't win the hearts and minds of the people? You challenge their king to a death match and then flee in the middle of the death match.
They just run away.
To lose.
Yeah.
That's not how you win the hearts and minds of people.
No.
I'm not a political master, but I feel like I'm on the right track with this.
But you did read The Prince.
I did read The Prince. So maybe I am a political master.
Who knows?
Vote for me, 2020. I'm not telling you what I'm running for. Just vote for me and everything.
Mattis should run. Mad Dog 2020.
Mad Dog 2020. Oh, he's also deeply problematic.
Oh my god.
All right. There's one more
character. Only just for the joke.
There's one more character I want to talk about, and his criminal of an underrepresentation of this movie.
If you say fucking Night Owl.
No.
I'll choke the shit.
Black Manta. Also, Black Manta could have been so cool.
Also a character who does not survive my circumcision.
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure he didn't. But he could have been so much more. Like,
An edit. That's what he could have been.
The problem is he was too much. He was an unnecessary complication to the movie where he could have been... They could have done anything differently.
Like anything.
His backstory was just weird.
It's comic accurate. That's why it's weird.
No.
It's bad. It's bad. It's not good. It's bad.
I know it's bad, and I know it's weird.
Movie, if you want Black Manta, don't introduce him in one movie. Have him be a side player in Arthur's story. Do the story you did, have him be a side player in Arthur's story, and then have something Arthur did fuck things up for him, and that's a loss. Mm-hmm. That's a loss. He lost his friend,
mm-hmm.
who is now pissed off at him and coming after him in the guise of Black Manta.
Great.
Good. It's so much better than everything they did with him in the movie.
It's like they had a quota of cliches they had to cram into this movie. And they're like, we need a villain that isn't the main villain and isn't connected to this story in any way, shape, or form.
The problem...
Why do you need that?
The problem is there's... They did like three different villains for the Aquaman story, and they crammed them all into this movie. Because that whole, what are they called? The
trench.
People. The trench. That's all. There's a whole story there that they could they could go with. There's all the intrigue in Atlantis. There's Black Manta. Those could have been three different stories. The problem is I think they weren't sure if they were going to get any more Aquaman movies, so they're just going to like, we're going to put it all in.
Fuck it, we're doing it.
We're doing everything.
Everyone hold on to your balls.
We're going to make all the Aquaman stuff in this movie. And I think with the exception of Aqualad, they've done just about everything.
They even put that fucking octopus in.
They did. That
Tony, I can't deal with that fucking octopus.
That octopus playing the
drums.
Oh, yeah.
That was his octopus.
I know. I saw that happen, and I'm like, oh, boy. All right, well.
Who did this to us?
I was really annoyed with the movie. Like, I was getting mad at the movie until I saw that, and I was like, oh, this is my problem.
It isn't your problem.
It is. It's my problem that I had expectations of this movie. Any expectations of this movie. Because when that happened, it was like, oh, I wasn't supposed to have any expectations of what was supposed to be in this movie.
Ba-da-ba-bum-bum-ba-dum-bum-bum-bum.
Yeah, that's what I expected. So I was thinking about the whole, like, the three different villains piece. And my guess was, and I mean, I do not read comic books. I'm not, so, like, feel free to, but my understanding has always been that Marvel had the complex characters and DC had the sort of black and white, like, there was more good and evil, like, good versus evil going on. And so I was wondering if they were trying to, like, make up for that by having a complicated geopolitical situation. Which I thought could have been cool. This could have been a really interesting geopolitical movie. Where essentially everybody has a legitimate beef. Because, I mean, the thing is, like, the King of Atlantis, I forgot his name, but the guy we hate.
Night Owl.
Okay, Night Owl. He was...
Impotent.
I actually loved him throwing all the plastic back on the land. I thought that was a really,
that,
like,
was good
quality move. I thought they had, like, their, they had, you know, now clearly, as is often true in wars, like, there were ulterior motives for the war, but the war was just, like, the interest in the war was just.
Yeah.
And so they had, like, a point. Certainly, like, protecting innocence on land and under the sea is valuable. Mm-hmm. Like, Black Manta had a point, you know, even mm-hmm. with his piracy. Like, I don't have a problem with anybody's motivations in any of the situations. But they totally blew it by A, not digging into it, and B, you've got, like, in the end, which makes me hate, like, Aquaman, he becomes their king, but he does nothing for them.
Yeah.
He, like, there's no hint at, oh, now that we've, like, stopped the war between Earth, we're going to deal with this injustice that the people on land are. No, we're just going to.
Yeah. Now that, like, thousands upon thousands mm-hmm. of these undersea dwellers died in a fight.
Yeah.
To start a different fight. We can not start that fight. That's a rough opening position to be in.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure where you go from there. And so here's the thing. Like, the king dude could... One, we didn't see enough goddamn trash in Atlantis. I wanted to see trash in Atlantis.
Yeah.
Like, show me that this is a real fucking problem for Atlantis, because it doesn't look like it's a problem.
Because the Little Mermaid showed us trash. Mm-hmm. Like, literally. Like, she collects trash.
Yeah.
I don't remember that movie at all. There is a mermaid.
Yeah.
She fucks?
No.
No.
Okay. I don't remember anything about that movie.
Different movie.
But the fish part is on top, right? The fish part is on top. It's human legs, fish head.
Yep, you go with that. and bright red hair.
Yeah, so, like, it could have been interesting.
Oh.
Leg hair.
It could have been interesting, like, if there was just trash everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, this is a pressing concern, and we need to do something about this. Like, completely excise the entire plot where he's like, I'm going to go to war to go to war.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to show up to these people. Oh, this is when you were getting popcorn. He shows up to get the alliance from that king dude.
Okay.
The king dude's like, no, we're not going to fucking war over this. Get the fuck out of here. So he tridents that guy, kills him, and then, like, his teenage daughter is in the room, and he's like, you're the queen now. Pledge yourself to my thing.
Wow.
What the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, it was Game of Thrones level weird.
Yeah, like, the submarine thing just didn't need to happen.
Why did we need to see all seven kingdoms? Why do they need to keep going from kingdom to kingdom to get alliances?
Also,
it's like
Ocean Master.
One line
the
it.
Fuck.
One line it and say that. Yeah. Okay. So four different plot lines because Ocean Master is a character in the comic books and wears that mask.
The mask that does facial expressions.
Yeah.
That fucking thing.
Yeah, we could have had a scene, like a court scene, where there's one representative
from
each of those, and it would have been clear. We didn't need to visit each place.
Yeah, a diplomat in Atlantis.
Or why are the crab people him living in
walk
a lava
back in.
Period.
How did it go with so-and-so?
Exactly.
Oh, they're on our side now. Yeah. And
great.
And they have a new queen.
Yeah.
You know what? One line. Perfect.
Yeah, I don't even care about, didn't care about the old king, don't care about the new queen.
Yeah.
Also,
that does establish him as bad, though.
And it I don't does. Feel like they needed to do that.
Because, well...
they either need to make the war legitimate or do this.
Because the war is legitimate.
Yeah.
To me, like, the war was completely legitimate. And so if we want to hate him, then he has to do some shitty things.
But why do we need to hate him?
I think
the more interesting thing is if we don't see him being overtly evil.
Yeah.
It's just that his motivations are not what Aquaman's are.
Yeah.
The war will kill a bunch of people.
But then you have to do a lot more storytelling, like good storytelling.
They would have had to have done
to make that work.
Storytelling.
Also, which is what they needed to do, though.
Yeah, true.
Which is why that story isn't the first one
yeah.
to tell. I think that's the problem, is that that's not the first story you go and tell.
Oh, but fuck, Tony, I can't do another origin story. I just don't physically have it in me anymore.
I don't want another origin story, but have it be a story where he's gonna go visit Atlantis, mm-hmm. and then gets dragged in by the trench.
Yeah.
And he's gonna fight against the trench. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. You've got a whole villain. You've got a whole mm-hmm. story mm-hmm. there, and you can establish the greater world of Atlantis, of Mara, of his buddy who becomes Black Manta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've watched two full movies of Aquaman spearing around the ocean before even a third of the events of this movie come to fruition.
Right. Yeah. There was just too much story they were trying to tell.
Also, this is going back to characters just a little bit. Patrick Wilson's character, Orin the King, that we keep mentioning, I didn't see how he was a threat. Looking back on it, I didn't see how he was a threat at all. Because looking at a few of those other kings, if he challenged any of them to death matches, he would have lost.
Except he totally kicked Aquaman's ass.
Yeah, I know. But what about that giant crab thing we see right at the end of the movie, leading the other army?
You mean John Rhys Davies?
Whatever. But that...
that's who it was. That was fucking Gimli.
Okay, Gimli. If Orin had challenged him to a death match, it very much looked like that Orin would lose.
Hard. We don't know that.
But even if
size matters not.
And even if he had lost, like, there would have been no legitimacy, because it's not whoever can fight the king and lose. The idea was that they both had claim to the throne.
It was king's challenge.
Which, speaking of which, what kind of society is this?
That lets a bastard
have a challenge? So this is, like, clearly a matrilineal society where it only matters, like, the woman's line, but it's patriarchal because the thing is, she should have been queen once she came back.
Right.
And so I just found that bizarre and different.
Yeah. For the technology they had, it didn't need to be both matrilineal and patriarchal.
Yeah.
That was just weird.
To make the story work, I guess you'd have to.
Sure.
Yeah, but don't make the story work.
Yeah.
Figure literally anything else out.
Me and my mom have this running joke in when she asks me a question in a comic book movie, mm-hmm. and it is very clearly BS. Like, how is he surviving that? It's supposed to be the strongest thing and blah, blah, blah. His armor's made of plutonium, Mom. It's fine. And, like, we just mention plutonium.
Yeah.
All the time.
As just the coverall.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Just don't,
it fixes it.
Don't think about it.
Just okay. Space wizards with laser swords. Just.
Yeah.
If you think about it too hard, it's going to break down.
I can't not.
I know.
I can't.
I feel like it should hold up to that slate scrutiny, but maybe not.
My thing is it needs to be internally consistent.
Yeah.
It was not.
It was not internally consistent, and the people didn't do things that made sense for the people who they were.
Well, we couldn't figure out who they were.
Well, that's...
Okay, sorry,
also, I
right.
didn't know who they were.
Maybe that was my problem. Maybe I just didn't know. Maybe clearly that is exactly what they were supposed to be doing, but I just didn't know who they were.
I couldn't figure out what kind of personalities anybody had.
So many things that I like. There were things I liked about this movie.
It had moments.
It had, yeah, singular, disconnected moments.
That were in the trailer.
No, there was some stuff in there.
I liked the moment when they're looking at the statues, and he's like, oh, that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so. She's like, how do you know this? And he's like, oh, my dad's a big history buff, and he taught me these things.
I think you were getting popcorn during this, too.
Okay.
With the Greek statues?
With the Greek statues?
Okay.
Or the, I guess, the Roman statues?
Yeah. Whatever. Like
Oh, when they were in Sicily?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. Yeah.
And, like, he's like, oh, hey, I know who these guys are. And mm-hmm. and it was like, because the character was so fucking stupid through the rest of it, it's like, how the shit do you know this?
Yeah,
and he's Agrippa, like, yeah. He's not a king. What the fuck?
Yeah. He was a great general, but he wasn't a king.
Yeah.
Scipio, he wasn't a king either. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
But there was it was a good moment though, because he's like, my dad was really into history, so I picked it up from my old man.
These plaques are in Italian.
Yeah.
Well, he had a little Italian on him.
He had a couple different languages.
He had Japanese. Yeah.
He spoke Japanese. Russian.
Because I had this.
I thought he rescued the. I thought the summer.
Those were Russian.
He spoke Russian. I could have sworn he spoke Japanese at one point.
That was Russian. Those were Russians at the beginning of the movie. Those were Russians.
It's as tight as Russia.
So his backstory in comic books, was he ever in the military?
I don't believe so.
I felt like they were doing some hints at that in the beginning, that he would go save the Navy because he
more sense.
Like felt that, because that was part of what bothered me too. It's like, well, we can't just sit up and assume that the Navy's always a good guy is doing the right thing. Like, what kind of worldview is this?
Yeah.
He
wasn't saving the U.S. Navy though. He was saying the Russian name.
Oh, you're right. Well, yeah, and fuck the Russian. Well, sorry. Anyway, I don't know. Maybe the Russian Navy. Also, maybe they're lovely. But I don't think they are.
They were just getting their asses kicked, and we're going to get murdered. So
and they
he was
were
just,
cute, and they were just like, they had like stupid suits.
Yeah, they had like, little sailor suits. Also.
Anyway, yeah.
Did they ever, I might not be remembering it right, but did they ever explain why that one submarine just showed up out of nowhere?
Yes.
And fired missiles on a group of it, like on the Two Kings meeting?
Yes, yeah, that was did. The sub.
Yeah.
That was the sub.
The sub in the beginning and that sub were the same sub.
Yep.
The king hired Manta to get that.
Oh.
Yeah. That was actually some decent storytelling that they
that
didn't
part was good.
Beat
yeah.
you over the head with, because it was all like there was this loosely implied series of scenes that it was like, oh, all right, that's why that sub was there shooting at them for no apparent reason.
Yeah.
Because the reason was he was hired. It was a black flag operation.
Yeah. Again, you didn't need a submarine. You know what you needed? Why are we doing this meeting here? It's so close to the surface. Oh, you know how we can't move around without, like, we can't even see each other? There's so much fucking garbage here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like... Yeah. Here's why we're here. Like, look at all this fucking garbage.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just have the meeting on the floating island of plastic in the Pacific. I mean, if you want to make a geopolitical statement,
that was the problem.
Fucking statement.
That was the problem.
Yeah.
They didn't want to commit to it.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, and they didn't commit to a lot of themes. I mean, there's the whole father-son situation that they don't really want to flesh out. there's the whole, like, mercy versus, I guess, like, not mercy, just cruel justice, quote-unquote, that was supposed to essentially be, like, what was wrong with Atlantis as a society.
Yeah, we throw them in the trench, which, one, we never see.
Yeah.
We never see them throw anyone into any fucking trenches.
Right.
And two, three people who go into the trench that they allegedly sacrificed these people to come back.
Right. Yeah. The only three people we know that have been sacrificed
to the trench
aren't dead.
Yeah. How do they sacrifice these people to the trench? Do they, like, break their legs or something? Because they just seem to be able to jet stream through the water at any point in time.
That's a good point.
Kind of like how Superman can just go from still to a sonic boom in a second. They can just...
No, that's a solid point.
Do they just want these people gone? Like, Scar, run away and never return.
Plutonium, dude.
Yeah.
I did like the monster thing guarding the spear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That was good.
Oh, shit, you can hear me?
Yeah.
I haven't conversed with anyone in thousands of years.
That was good. That was a good moment.
Yeah, that was fun.
There were some good moments.
Okay.
That's two.
Can we talk about how pretty the movie is now?
Yes.
I actually didn't think the movie was that good looking.
Oh.
Compared to every other DC movie, it's gorgeous.
It was brighter.
It's definitely brighter.
It had colors. And I say colors, plural, not just shades of
black. I like the look of Atlantis. Well, yeah. We didn't see much of it.
I liked how they adapted to the sea, and it's not still some big castle. Mm-hmm. Because they show the castle crumbling, and now they have, like, little like mushroom buildings or whatever, and they've used something to create these metal guns, these metal weapons, and these towers and all these other things. That would have been a good idea on how they made all that crap, just all the trash, all the metal, like maybe they use some sort of metal that they can, like, extract from something that is a waste to humans. But they're now running out of that. And, like, now they're having some sort of resource crisis. I don't know.
I don't want them to have a resource crisis on top of also dumping all their shit on them.
Yeah, I don't want to make the trash we're dumping on them
their resource.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. The problem is they're trying to clean up the ocean.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, we're going to lose that.
We have to start a second war. Why did we throw all the trash back?
I thought it was pretty. I liked the way it looked. I will say I felt they were pretty much, like, riding on Wakanda by having water basically run everything, this sort of generally futuristic looking
situation.
Gonna say, like, Wakanda gave them the go-ahead.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you can have a civilization on Earth that no one knows about that's super technically advanced. And that's fine to put in your universe. Woo, Atlantis!
Yeah.
Black Panther was popular. Let's just shoehorn this shit into Atlantis.
Except they didn't do it well.
No.
Like, I felt like I understood the Wakandan political system a whole lot better.
Well, it makes sense in a larger world.
It does. Mm-hmm. And it was this, I mean, there are moments in the story that are the same.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
brother fighting brother.
Many moments.
And, like,
many moments.
What? Yeah.
That was part of the problem. But
fucking Night Owl. The whole goddamn movie. Fucking Night Owl.
There was something that didn't make sense to me.
There was a lot of things that didn't make sense
to me. No, like a lot more of this movie made sense to me because the way I watched it, I turned my brain off and tried to enjoy it for what it was.
That's what I should have done.
But, like, even when I was doing that, you said his name and I forgot it. The character that they showed in the news, who is, like, this researcher, and he's like, there's Atlanteans! Guys, there's fucking Atlanteans!
The MIT guy who got,
And then they're like, dude, you're crazy. Perfect. Get out of town.
His name Randall Park.
Randall Park.
And then he shows up at the end and is some sort of technical genius helping Black Manta fix his suit.
Well, how do you think he got on TV?
Yeah. The whole time
he's an engineer. I mean, they said that. They
said engineer?
Yeah, he was
engineer. I swear I heard biologist.
Well, oh, but I don't remember. I just remember he was from MIT, so I assumed he was legit.
I thought he was some sort of
marine biologist slash researcher or whatever.
They said he got fired from his marine biology job.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
That's what I'm going
off
of.
Well, then, yeah, like,
why? Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's just assuming that they can't have multiple.
You're telling me that a comic book scientist in any comic book you've ever read isn't automatically
all the sciences.
All the sciences, all the engineering, because they don't make a distinction between the two?
He has the general sciences ability, not the marine biology specific science ability.
Yeah.
So he can roll against any science traits.
Yeah.
How you do it.
Then why didn't they trust him? Why didn't they listen to his theory more and humiliate him on national television?
Because he was saying crazy shit.
You are going to learn a lot about how that's an incredibly realistic part of this story.
Yeah. Yeah, that was actually very real.
Remember when cigarettes were good for you? Remember when
low tar.
Remember when lead in our gasoline was fine, even though it was literally killing us?
He doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Remember how football doesn't cause brain injuries?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, yeah.
That's more timely for this one.
Yeah.
I remember kids at my elementary literally playing tackle football and the teachers not caring.
Oh, I was fine. I played tackle. The problem is ramming your head into people.
Oh, they were doing that.
Not helmets?
Yeah, they weren't playing with equipment. They had a football and themselves.
Yeah, but you're not doing that frontline ram the same way.
You're not.
It's not the same.
How much football do you watch, man? It's not
a whole lot.
It's not the same. Listen, you do that once or twice without pads, and someone's leaving the field.
Yeah.
The human body does not take a ton of punishment before it breaks.
Another part of the internal inconsistency of the movie was they could have given me a better reason than, well, the Royals can breathe in the air.
Yes! Yes!
I mean, a better reason for what?
For why the grunts suits. The grunts needed the suits, but everyone who we knew their name didn't.
To me, it was going to be six of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah,
it's going to be faceless people without suits or faceless people in suits.
That was also something that I was really hoping they would touch on, because there's a trait that all Atlanteans have, or it's a trait that few Atlanteans have, where they can breathe above water. Fine. What I was curious about was, would they get weaker or maybe even start dying if they were out of the water for too long? Because they went to the desert.
Yeah. So, or, for example, in the desert.
And they were fine.
And she didn't have any problem. Yeah.
Neither of them had any problem. Yeah. And even he was living in a relatively rainy, wet,
humid
town.
Yeah.
That he could they could even pull some BS and be like, oh yeah, he can absorb the water molecules in the air from how humid it is,
or
whatever.
And he swam every day or something like that. Yeah.
Or maybe he would be the one more affected by it because he was so wet all the time. And he's so used to it. And he's like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, good point. Yeah, I had trouble with that too, because I felt like if they did that, then they really need to follow up on what a hierarchical society this is that would allow for that.
Yeah, because like, why was the vizier or whatever Volko's position was, why was he able to do it when he's not really royalty?
Well, he's an elite. Maybe they, like, meant by royalty, they meant elites.
Maybe.
But, I mean, like, essentially, when you say that happening, that implies a whole breeding program.
Right.
Which is, like, deeply problematic and involves some, you wanted me to bring up my paleoanthropology point. I'm not going to forget.
I didn't want that.
And so, anyway. But, yeah, like, it implies a whole, like, breeding program situation.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the comics, Atlantis has been arguing with the surface world over certain topics for a while. Like, so that would be something that we could see. Oh, Atlantis is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, because do like low key want to like make them into Nazis. Then come on, make them into Nazis.
Yeah, I also kind of wouldn't have minded a scene where it was like the king meeting with the American government and being like, hey, can you get this trash situation under control? And him being like, listen, this is a free market. People are going to do what they're going to do. We've got that kind of control over our people. keep an entire civilization hidden from the surface.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can't get a handle on the trash situation. Like, make the attempt on the diplomatic situation. Before I forget, you keep saying breeding program, which it only makes me, like, fucking think of fisheries.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're just little trout farm. Yeah, they're spawning new Atlanteans, little trout farm.
Or do they have, are they egg hatched? Are they, or they're mammalian?
Because they just wear fish outfits.
Yeah, that's true.
Because remember, she was pregnant.
That's true.
Sorry. I had something just clicked. Or the world engine from Man of Steel crashed in the Indian Ocean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, no. That wouldn't work. Sorry. I'm thinking about it. I thought, what if one of those breeding things was on the world engine? And they're like, oh, we could breed our own people from this. And then, like, they harvested it and took it for themselves, and now they're...
Yeah, they totally could have had Kryptonian tech, which would have been a nice
tie-in.
It would have another been a, nice and it also tie-in. Would have explained how they have a plasma gun capable of destroying rocks for no apparent reason.
I don't need a reason for that.
They fight with tridents. Atlantis seemed to be the most technologically advanced kingdom, because the other kingdoms that they showed, they didn't...
Wakanda was, and we needed to have a Wakanda.
Well, they also have the longest continuous kingdom.
True. Yeah.
Yeah, because Atlantis split into seven.
I even like the fantasy trope where you discover a fallen kingdom.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought that was going to be interesting, but it wasn't.
No.
Not in the slightest. I don't know how they got the fuck out of the desert, but somehow they managed it. So something happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have that plane guy be their Dopinder. Or something.
I didn't need that plane guy again.
Yeah, neither do I. But I'm...
Also, so at the end of the movie, he shows up and he brings, I don't remember what the name of the fucking monster was.
Cthulhu.
But it,
yeah, it kind of was.
It was like a nice little nut. Atla, but so much shit in this was named Atla at the beginning.
Yeah.
Atlan was the king.
Yeah. And then his mom was Atlana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Atlanta, so there was too much naming convention. But like, they literally show up and slaughter thousands of Atlanteans, right?
Yeah.
Like, just mercilessly are slaughtering these things. All right, just so we're all clear on what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's riding on this thing's head, like, come get me.
Nah, I'm fine with that part. That was already ridiculous.
Also, the final confrontation with the villain... Even the confrontation in the arena was whose dick is bigger. That's what the tridents were showing. That's like, yeah, who shows up and who has the bigger dick in this situation? Like, you hold our mother's trident, powerful but flawed. Mine, here I have this mystical stick, pointy stick. And it's my father's. It's never known defeat. Oh, I've come back with this magic one, and it can break yours.
Did you notice his dad's trident only had 3 tines, but his mom's had 5?
Yeah.
That's not a trident.
Yeah,
it's a quindent. 5, it's not a, yeah.
Yeah. He said trident. And I was like, they've called it a quindent before.
The monster's name was Carathan.
Great.
God.
Well, that's just stellar.
That's just a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So now I know that it had a name, and it was that.
It was that.
And it was apparently invulnerable. Also, so here's a question. What happens to it now?
Yeah, because at the end of the movie, it's just sitting there.
It's got nothing better to do. It's going to hang out. It's going to eat the trash.
It's just going to sit outside of Atlantis. I wish anyone could talk to me.
I just want, Arthur, when are you coming back?
Oh my God, Arthur. Please catch me up on the last 8,000 years of TV.
So that could also be something. Like, maybe he goes to that thing. Like, that's his fortress of solitude, as now people...
No, I'm not making. Comic book writers have used the Fortress of Solitude as more of a, hey, Superman needs to know something about this ancient enemy that has shown up for whatever reason. Go to the Fortress of Solitude, ask the Jor-El hologram, be like, hey, what do I do about this?
That's lazy writing.
Yeah, I know. But for this movie, it would have been less lazy writing than what had been, I mean, what had been done.
Didn't acquire this thing until the end of the movie, though.
Sequels.
So for not for this movie, then.
Not for this
exactly,
movie.
Not for this movie. There was also there was something that I just thought of, and now it's lost my head.
I really like Dolph Lundgren as the role he was in. I couldn't figure out who he was. I liked seeing him in that role, and I knew he was as soon as I saw him. I was like, is that? Oh, yeah, that's totally Ivan Drago.
Oh, God damn it. I had to look it up at the end, and I was like, fuck Dolph Lundgren. God damn it.
I actually like seeing him in that role. I thought it was pretty great.
Who was he again?
He was the
other king.
Oh, he was the redhead king?
Yeah.
Who was getting gray, and it looked really weird Mara's underwater.
Dad?
If this was a comic book, he would be a scientist and engineer and probably villain.
And warrior.
All three.
He would have been Zod.
I mean, Dr. Octopus is all three.
Yeah.
And now he's Peter Parker.
Hey, I haven't seen that movie yet.
What?
Okay, good.
It has nothing to do with that movie.
Okay, good.
I can't think of anything else to talk about other than that his dad was Boba Fett.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He was. He was Jango Fett.
Yeah.
And then the voices
and
of
then many
the,
other
the stormtroopers.
Well, which, by the way, if you watch the Clone Wars TV show, the stormtroopers make shit really uncomfortable. Like, really fucking uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they're people.
Yeah.
But no one in the universe treats them like people.
Nope.
And since they're all clones, they're like the same person, but not the same person.
Have you seen that one episode? I think it's one of the very first where Yoda goes onto this planet, and he has like five or six clones with him, and Ventress is already talking to this political leader like, hey, come to our side, because look, the Jedi are here. They can't even defend themselves, much less you. We can defend you because we have an entire droid army backing us up. Look at this. And then, like, she has this hologram because a droid's following them or whatever, and it's, like, recording them. And then she said, the political leader's like, oh, okay, well, let me test them. Send out however many droids, go get them. If they can defend themselves with that, then maybe we'll see. Like, give them a fair fight. And Ventress does it just because, like, Yoda's an old man. He's not going to win. And look at those measly clones he has. He has five of them. What are they going to do? And then, like, throughout the episode, we see how awkward things can get because he says one thing. They're at this cave because they lost the first fight. And Yoda is in this cave with all of them. He says this thing, some wise Yoda thing, and the clones are like, oh yeah, that inspires me. And then the rest of the clones look at that one guy and is like, yeah, that inspires me too. It's like they all have the same mind. And Yoda just like gives them this look and then shrugs, and then they go off and fight again.
I'm talking more about uncomfortable scenes where like a couple clones come across this orphan girl and they're like, we should save this orphan girl because her life's worth more than ours put together.
Oh, have you seen the trailer for the newest season?
No, I stopped watching it. It made me deeply uncomfortable and I didn't like it.
Yeah, it is pure silence and it's just two rows of clone helmets, and then you start hearing screaming and explosions, and then you just see an explosion roaring at you and the helmets just start getting destroyed. Like, this is war. We're gonna be dark and edgy, guys. That's pretty much the statement they made there.
I didn't know that Jaimon Hansu was the Fisherman King.
I did. I can recognize that face, and I don't care how much makeup.
Yeah.
As soon as there's an expression he made, and I was like, I bet it's that black guy. I bet it's the fucking guy from the many things, like Blood Diamond, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, I know that fucking expression anywhere. I don't care how much makeup you have on.
And Julie Andrews was the voice of Carathen.
Yeah, I thought Carathen sounded way too measly.
Okay. Like, yeah, that
didn't sound like... Yeah, I can take you down like that.
Yeah, the problem is there's only one person that can hear the voice, though.
Yeah. True. Also, that was
Why didn't we get to hear any of the other fish talk?
That was another...
I didn't want to hear any of the other fish talk. In fact, I only liked this conversation because for the majority of it, she's just monologuing to herself. Yeah. Like,
she's just talking to herself.
She's just like muttering under her breath. You know, this fucking half breed coming here trying to take this fucking trident. Yep. Not on my watch, bitch.
Beats him around.
Get your bitch ass out of here. Whoa, you can hear me. Oh, shit.
Yeah. That was also another thing I liked that was well done in this movie. And it was very simple. The way they animated him talking to the fish, where he put his hand out and little waves went out, like how he used to do it in like Super Friends, the cartoon TV show, where it was like and it was that simple, and I liked that because it was like, oh, that's neat.
If they
that's about it
removed the entire talking to fish element of this, I would have been extremely happy. The talking to fish thing is really dumb. I fucking hate it.
It's the core of the character, and I liked it. And I liked that was part of the resolution of the story.
Yeah.
I don't like that he sacrificed so much marine life for no fucking reason.
Well, there's
Let me control these whales to go die. Yeah. Why are we doing this?
And it would...
Why, when you're trying to get this army, is your best possible move to fight and destroy the army? That doesn't make any sense! The things you're doing don't make any goddamn sense.
You're right.
You just go so fight the surface without this army.
So much of the movie didn't make sense.
I know! John Rhys Davies stood fast, though. That's what I liked. Crab King was all... Not on my watch, pincer.
You mess with the crabbo, you get a stabbo. That's a meme.
No one got a stabbo, though.
Yeah, too bad. All right.
I don't have much else.
I have nothing
else. I got nothing.
But disappointment.
Yeah. Hopefully Bandersnatch will wash this all away.
Snatch does that.
Well, but Bandersnatch. We'll see.
Like a rubber bander?
Sure.
Rubber band gun.
That's what we're talking about. One of those.
Right? Yeah, that's it. Okay. That's exactly it. All right. We'll see you guys next time.